You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, don't forget, if you're in Columbus tomorrow, as 70,000 of you will be for the Browns Orange and Brown scrimmage, stop by Eddie George's Grill at 1636 North High Street and join us for a live radio broadcast of Cleveland Browns Daily from 1 to 3 p.m. before heading over to the Orange and Brown scrimmage at the Shoe at Ohio Stadium. Very happy now to have with us in studio from ESPN's NFL Insiders. You also hear him on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Adam Kaplan, who was out taking in practice today. Adam, welcome to...
Glad to be here, guys. Yes, this is my yearly ritual. I don't even know how many years I've been coming here, but there's always a new vibe here. And the vibe, obviously, is the development of number two, Johnny Manziel. Good to see him doing well. And also, I got to love the weather. There's no humidity. This has been an interesting couple weeks for me. Usually when you go to Florida, you're crushed with humidity. Very little there, very little here. Weather conditions are good today. Should be good tomorrow night at the Shoe, which is amazing that they're having a scrimmage there. Have they ever done that before?
No, this is the first time.
Wow. Looking forward to it.
70,000. They initially released 60,000 tickets. They were gone in about an hour.
Are you serious?
And now it'll be 70,000.
Really? Oh, yeah. I was thinking maybe 30,000. Really?
Yeah.
Wow, this is crazy.
And that's what we thought.
I was at 45.
We put the over-under at like 35,000, 40,000.
You know, now, unfortunately, there are a lot of injuries that you won't see a lot, some of the key players. But the fact of the matter is these players need to hit each other. They need to. Hopefully we'll see some contact there.
Some tackling, yep.
Because just going around the country in these camps, there's very little hitting. Now, the Steelers yesterday had two hitting periods, and they were getting after it. Mike Tomlin gets his players after it. They were doing that. But more often than not, teams just don't hit anymore. Matt knows probably when you first started, 2 days, how much were they hitting?
2 days were a ton. Even late in my career with Mike Singletary, the first 12 practices are going to be the first 6 days. They're going to consist of double days. We're going to do Nutcracker in the morning for 20 minutes. 9-on-7 is going to be 30 minutes long, both practices. You're going to bang. You had to be physical. You had to play downhill to make Mike Singletary's team.
Yeah, it is a different world under this CBA. Let's go back to your opening point. It's kind of been a lot of the talk around here. Just your observation on Johnny Manziel, his progress from a year ago till now.
Let me take you back to OTAs. I was told by someone with a team that first thing to look for when I came to camp is see that his arm strength is much better than it was at this point last season.
Yep.
Last camp. And that he's really making progress. The light's starting to go on a little bit for him. He's taking things seriously. The rehab stint, you know, did him well. He'll come into camp and sort of more or less compete for the number two job against Thad Lewis, who knew this offense that they're running under John DeFilippo. But maybe 3 or 4 days in, I was told that he's clearly the two. There's no question about it. He has a functional understanding of this offense. He's also a kid who had a high test score. He's actually pretty intelligent. And I was told after practice, right, maybe 20 minutes after practice, that he has made a big jump over the last 3 or 4 days. And not that he's challenging Josh McCown, but they want to see more of him. And they're going to get a chance at the scrimmage tomorrow night to see a little bit more of him. The fans will. This is really the fans' first chance to see this. We all know he's not really big. He's under 6 feet, maybe 6 feet, 5'11", 3/4 of an inch. He's a smaller player, but the thing is he's starting to understand how to create space, and that's big for a smaller quarterback.
Sure.
Drew Brees had to understand how to do that.
Yes.
But there's a lot that's being thrown at him. I also was able to talk to Josh McCown after practice. McCown was pretty serious. He said that he didn't know what to expect when he came here, but he likes that Johnny asks him to watch tape. He asks a lot of questions. He's very serious about his career right now, which is a complete change from last season and last year. And quite frankly, it was kind of a drama every day with this guy last year.
Yeah.
There's none of that anymore. Now, what does that equate to as an NFL quarterback? It means that he's just learning how to play the position, because when you were at Texas A&M and Johnny Manziel, absolutely no structure. He got to do whatever he wanted. He didn't know how to play quarterback. Here he knows how to play quarterback, and he's got Kevin O'Connell coaching him, a former NFL quarterback, a third-round pick of the Patriots. John DeFilippo, a college quarterback of James Madison, who helped develop Derek Carr last season. So he's got the right coaching staff. They're fairly young, too, which I think will help him.
Yes, I agree.
So I think everything, when you look at Manziel, is very positive going forward.
Adam, as you look at the first-round picks, fans in most franchises want – instant feedback, instant return on that number one. They didn't get that out of Justin Gilbert. They definitely didn't get that out of Johnny.
They may not be getting it, Matt, with Justin Gilbert. He is really behind.
He is definitely behind. Yeah. And Johnny Manziel, in some cases, was behind. So is it safe to say that to be optimistic about Johnny Manziel as your potential franchise quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Last year as a true redshirt, that this is actually like his full-on rookie year where he's developing as a professional
I'll buy that. That's a good way to frame this. This is really his first season. Last year was a complete washout.
Right.
I mean, he didn't have the right attitude.
The hoopla surrounding.
Nothing was good with Johnny Manziel. Let's be honest about it. This year, past February when he or March when he was in rehab for whatever he went in there for, whatever happened for 10 weeks, it really helped him. He is super, as someone told me, and I took the quote down, super focused. And this is real. This is not them trying to be positive. I asked some tough questions, and I got real answers today. This is really good. If you're a Manziel fan or a Browns fan, you have to feel good at least about where he is. But the way you evaluate first-round picks, by the time the rookie deal ends, they better be a starter.
Sure.
And that was Ray Farmer's first draft class. This draft class is completely different. They didn't draft a quarterback. They decided not to do that, which is fine. Cornerback with Gilbert, I mean, he's just not there yet. I don't know what to expect from this guy. This is not good. He needs to make progress. Now, the good news is, though, Pierre Desir from what I was told before I got here and from what I heard today, he's really doing well.
He has. Yes.
He's got good size. That's what Pettine wants. He wants length at cornerback. That's why they drafted Gilbert, one of the many reasons. So, listen, it's a fourth-round pick from last year. He's doing well, so that's a good sign. Unfortunately, Barcavius Mingo, we just don't know with the knee surgery, if it's going to be, the report's out there, 2 to 4 weeks. You never know with meniscus surgery, which is a minor surgery compared to other type of surgeries, but we'll have to see how he comes back. This team's hard to figure out, though, if you're trying to figure out what kind of win total. I think the defense, if they could figure out the cornerback spot, whether Tremont Williams, we didn't mention him. He's a real pro, and I was told he did real well in OTAs. But overall, I think this is a team that will be dominated by the running game, and you're going to win by the running game and defense, and you're not going to be throwing a lot. If they're in games, they're not throwing very much at all.
When you look at this team, and last year they couldn't stop the run, and that was a big problem. The secondary was great. You bring in Danny Shelton, who you saw today, and you even remarked, I can't believe how big that guy is.
I saw him at the Senior Bowl, but maybe it's a uniform here. His ankles are like tree trunks. It's unbelievable.
They're like quads. Now,
this kid was, just to give people an idea at the Senior Bowl, he was the best defensive player over the 3 days of practice. He was dominant. No one could handle him. He takes up space, as you said, Nathan, but his functional strength is incredible. Despite having pretty good depth last year with the Browns, as you said, it didn't matter if they had 10 people. They couldn't stop the run. This guy is a space eater. If he doesn't impact them against the run, then I don't know how they're going to stop the run. But he's really going to help them there. Nate Orchard, who I really liked, I know that this is a guy that they graded very highly before the draft. When I tried to predict who they were going to draft, I knew they were high on two players. I didn't know about Shelton, but I knew they were really high on Cam Irving.
Yep.
Ability to adapt to different positions. And they really graded Nate Orchard very high. Really talented pass rusher, and they need that coming off the bench.
Yeah, they certainly do, opposite Paul Kruger. Talking with ESPN NFL insider Adam Kaplan about the Browns here. So you said it's a tough team to figure out. Do you think that the talent overall, though, is upgraded from a year ago across the board on the team, or the depth at least?
At certain positions, yes. Running back, you add Duke Johnson. When he's healthy, I don't know. And there's another guy that I knew they were really high on. But the issue with Duke Johnson is when he's healthy, how much work can he handle? They don't know that. But they love this kid, and he's going to have a big plan in their offense because they're going to have to run their offense. They just don't have the group of receivers or tight ends who are big-time playmakers. They just don't have that. It's been a long time since I can't remember when they had him. I mean, Kellen Winslow, unfortunately, didn't work quite as well as they would have hoped because of the injuries. They just need playmakers. Dwayne Bowe, with the hamstring, that disappoints me that he's not unable to practice, and this is a guy you always worried about his weight. I think his weight's not quite where they'd like it. He's got to get in better shape, but they are counting on him.
Yes.
They are.
They are counting on him. He's going to be their number one passing option. When he's healthy, he's going to have to be the guy. And Brian Hartline, I'm told, has had a good camp. He's a guy that is a number two receiver, won't do a bad job. Taylor Gabriel's been their best receiver from OTAs through now. But can they score? I just don't know. I don't see the explosive plays here.
Adam, you referenced, as we welcome you to the show, that a different feel around here, simply a lot of it is because of the hoopla surrounding Johnny Manziel. He's now quarterback number
two. It's a non-story, man.
It is a non-story.
All the drama's gone.
It is, yeah. But you referenced a different feeling around here, and I just kind of want your outsider's take on what that feeling is on this change in culture from, you know, the Browns' old regime to now the Mike Pettine, Ray Farmer regime moving forward.
All right, Matt, I've come here, I'm going to guess 8 to 10 years, and I've seen, I don't know how many different coaching staffs and front offices.
4 or 5 in that 8 or 10 years.
I don't know what's going to happen, you know, in the future as far as the front offices, although Jimmy Haslam said, no, he's not going to, he doesn't plan on making any changes. But positivity one is high. No drama for the first time in I don't know how many years. I mean, I work with Phil Savage.
Okay? Yeah.
And Phil was telling me about the Charles Bentley stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the bad luck this organization has had. Well, what I could tell you is everything's calmed down. It's really now all about football. When's the last time it was all about football? It's been a long time here. So that's a good thing. And the fans don't have to worry about the nonsense. It's all about football, developing. And this is a very young it's a very young team. Coaching staff is veteran, but no one's super old here.
Right.
And the roster is young. So that's a good thing that they could develop these guys. But again, it's going to be about running game, win with defense. You hope you have the team, the game in, you know, the lead in the fourth quarter, because with Terrence West, Crowell, and Johnson, you've got a really strong backfield. Potentially with, I think, one of the top three offensive line. We should mention Alex Mack being back, who practiced today. This should be a dominant offensive line. That was the problem last year. They're not having your center. It was a problem.
It was a huge problem for this team as they struggled once Alex Mack went down. For this team to compete in what is a very good AFC North, and I know you were with the Steelers yesterday, what needs to go right for the Browns?
To do what?
To be able to compete to win this division, if that's even possible in your mind.
To me, they look like, and I don't even look at their schedule, they look like a 8-8 team. Again, lack of playmakers on offense, although I think Duke Johnson could be a playmaker, because my understanding is the way that they plan to use him is everywhere. I mean, this kid is
flexed out. Yep.
Yeah, super, but screens and everything. I don't have their playbook, but I know that they have a plan to use him extensively. But the other problem is I just don't know. I just don't know how they're going to manufacture offense. That, to me, is going to be a major challenge,
Adam.
I was going to say yesterday, and I just wanted to bring this up, you know, as we kind of taper away in our time with Mr. Kaplan, is we had Albert Breer from NFL Network yesterday, and lay out the scenario in regards to franchise quarterback, Andrew Luck scenario, it fun.
Okay, absolutely. Good. I'm glad you brought this up, because I'm interested to get your take on this. So I was saying the other day on the radio that if I was the GM of, say, the Browns or the Bills, a team, even more specifically the Bills, because they seem to have it all in place, playmakers, defense, et cetera, I'd call up Indianapolis, and I'd say, I'll give you 10 ones for Andrew Luck. And then I said, if they said no, I would get to 20, and I would do it because if I have Andrew Luck, my goal is to win a Super Bowl. And if I have Andrew
and
Luck,
multiple,
I feel like
I'll tell Andrew you what Luck. About Andrew Luck. I remember talking to, I'm not at liberty to say a team. I'll just say a team from the eastern part of the United States, and they made a boat. They called Ryan Grigson before the draft, and they offered a boatload. And they said Grigson could pick the players. They offered a bunch of picks. He had no interest. I mean, when you have the quarterback position set, it changes everything.
Everything.
Look at Atlanta when Tom Dimitroff came into Atlanta. They were a complete mess.
Yep.
Got Matt Ryan correct.
Stabilized everything.
Telling you. Look at the Bucs. Now, the Bucs are not a good football team. However, they got Mike Evans right, their first-round pick last year, which is great. If they get Jameis Winston right, hours up. Now, they still have other issues. If the Browns could get the quarterback position right, you don't have to be a top-10 quarterback. Be like 12, 13, or 14. That to me is a franchise quarterback.
Yes.
Someone you can win with, you go to the Super Bowl with. I don't know what Johnny is as a quarterback yet. As a matter of fact, next year, just no matter how well he does this year, I would think they would be smart to bring some competition in. Kind of a younger quarterback, but McCown is Josh told me he still wants to listen. He takes year to year, but he's got a 3-year deal here, so he should still be here. But they've got to upgrade the quarterback position. At least it's got to be better. But as far as a franchise quarterback, boy, when you have one, it changes everything. It's so easy. It's so much easier. You're playing with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
And Phillip Rivers in San Diego.
Yeah, it's incredible. You just build around him. It's basically 50% of your challenges as NFL executive for your team. Once you get the quarterback, you've got 50% done. That's one player.
Agreed.
Okay, right. And the way that you build your team is quarterback, cornerback, right defensive end if you're a 43 defense.
Yep.
And that's it. Just build around and left tackle on offense. I mean, and having Joe Thomas is, I mean, it's great. You know, there's some pieces. There's some building blocks here. But they just have to continue to upgrade. Ray Farmer's been around a long time. heck, I remember when he came with Brian Dawkins with the Eagles.
Yep.
As a player. I mean, it's a good story.
And Adam, how big is that window, though? Joe Thomas, in his eighth year, he can't play at that level
forever.
He's
healthy, though. Left tackles can play in their mid-30s, though. Yeah, okay.
So you've got him. You've got Joe Hayden. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got some pieces. But then you've got Dante Whitner, you know, on the end of his career. Carlos Dansby on the end of his career, who are integral additions to this team last year that are playing huge roles for them right now. But how long can that last? Because Bowen Hartline, you know, they're in towards the end of their primes or subprime as well, where you need that nucleus that you're drafting every year to truly become your future sooner than later.
Yeah, it's true. They have some older players that they have to eventually replace. Maybe those older guys only have 2 years left, you know, in their body. But I think Thomas, though, left tackle is a position you could play until your mid-30s. So you would hope you get 3, 4, 5 years out of him. But depth, you mentioned depth at the top of this broadcast here, at least with me. I think that depth, though, a little questionable. Obviously, a corner, if Gilbert just plays decent football, depth at cornerback is way better because you have one. You have DeSear. So you know you have that. Outside linebacker, if Orchard could play, if he could dress every week and give you 10 to 15 snaps, you're much better shape there. Billy Wynn, unfortunately, I think he actually has a high ankle, I'm told.
Yeah, it is high ankle.
Yeah, so that's going to be a couple weeks, but you'll get him back. The depth with Shelton, there's depth there. Receiver to me, I mean, you have names, you have numbers, but I just don't know. I think that's an issue. That's something they will have to. The one thing Ray Farmer did not address, and it's major to me, is the lack of playmakers at wide receiver, tight end. That to me is, that separates what I think with the running game and the outstanding offensive line. That separates to me from a 8-8 team. Being a 10
win. Well, especially when you don't have that 12-14 ranked quarterback as well.
That's who. But I think Josh could be managed. I think they'll manage him well. But when you have the running game, you have what should be a top 10 defense, you're gonna be in most games. But the problem is how you going to score when you need to. Where are the big plays? I don't see it.
Adam, thank you very much for being with us. Great insight as always. Follow him on Twitter at KaplanNFL, and you can watch him on ESPN NFL Insider. He's obviously doing his tour right now. He's on the road in August at a camp near you, as it says on your Twitter bio. And we're certainly always happy to have you with us here
anytime,
in Cleveland.
Guys. Thank you.
And optimism about Johnny Manziel, that's good, and it's about football, so that's also very good. All right, we'll be with you live tomorrow from Eddie George's down in Columbus, getting ready for the Orange and Brown scrimmage, so we hope to see you all there. For our producer, Dave DiNatale, for Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura, saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
See ya.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.